So anyway.
Started. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ken.
Morning.
Morning.
How's everybody?
Good, good.
Great.
All right. We got Ken Austin with Mercy House. We'll just jump right in and tell us some of your latest updates. We talked to Brian Kelly last week, so we've heard a little bit from him.
Oh, yeah.
But tell us what, you know, from your perspective, what's going on with Mercy House.
Well, we're really excited about the summer. We're getting ready to end it on July the 30th. We've had a really big summer with 200 children in the program over at the Common Ground facility since June 5th. Actually, we started Memorial Day weekend. Had a mission trip. We took kids down the border, a bus load up and down the border to Ocala for the weekend. Came back and jumped right in and started an after school program. This is our first summer actually in the Common Ground facility. You know, Brian focusing now on the camp. And so we leased that facility from him and able to come back in there now and bring the program that we had at the MAP Center with the kids there over in the Washington Park community. And that's been a really, really huge, huge help for the community because a lot of the kids that was in our program at the MAP Center, we was transporting back and forth. You know, we were picking up from eight different schools and it was transporting back and forth over to the MAP Center. So now that we are in the Common Ground facility, the kids in the community and the kids that we were serving all the time, we just was closer there. And some of the staff that was on that Common Ground stayed on with us. So we brought on that staff and CJ got a chance to pick him up too. So he came on. We hired him on to help us out to run a summer program also. So it's been a really huge program for us this summer. The kids there from 8 to 3, Monday through Fridays. Mm-hmm. And then we have an after-evening program from 4 o'clock until 11. We try to keep them off the street in the evening in the gym and at the MAP Center in the hub downstairs. It's been really good training them. It's been partnering with us. It's amazing that the children that's in the program, their parents are over at Trenum at the MAP Center in the adult education with GEDs and high school diplomas. And then from there to livable wage jobs. So it's just been a really, really wraparound, really huge venture that we get a chance to do through this program.
What's some of the things that y'all do with the children during the day?
Well, we have STEM program. We're actually, Regents Bank is putting a garden back up there. We used to have the Seed of Hope there at the facility at Common Ground before. So we're actually putting a garden back up there, community garden back there. We have teachers there, academics from 9 until noon every day.
That's
so my wife is one of the teachers there. We have 6 college interns on the ground every day that's there with them, which is really amazing for them, inspiring them to do greater things and showing them that they too can do it, you know. So it's really huge what we have had the opportunity to do with some of these kids.
How many do you think you have?
How many children?
Mm-hmm.
We have 130 from 8 to 3, and we have 70 that comes in the evenings between the gym and the MAP program. So those are teenagers 14 and above that we keep off the streets in the evening. That's been throughout the summer. So it's been really, really, really nice opportunity for kids.
Yeah.
We have the coach from Bellingham School here. He's the basketball coach. He works in the evening in the gym, keeping the kids in the gym. And then other people in the hub at the MAP Center, keeping them there in a safe place. Both of these are recreation areas just to keep them off the street.
Keep them busy.
Just keeping them busy. The kids who were shot and killed, all kids was in the gym. So they was over at the McIntyre gym playing over there. The McIntyre walked right in front of our gate and those kids have been in the program the whole time. You know, they was raised up in the program and coming around. So these are kids that we knew and kids that all the kids that we know knew. So the next day was a really hard day for those kids, you know, who coming back in after the blood's still out there, stains still in the streets and and it just continue forward. So it's a really hard place to be, real hard community. A lot of hard work to do.
Now, will y'all do anything with the camp, or is that just kind of what Brian is going to take over?
So what we get a chance to do with the camp, we get a chance. We took this group up there once since we've been in the summer, but we hopefully, as Brian continues to get it developed, we'll, you know, just be like a campsite. We used to go to Blue Lake and other campsites, but we'll get a chance to take our kids up to a different site. It's, you know, there. So that's what we're hoping to do. Once it's developed, we'll get a chance to take kids there, yes.
Well, Mercy House, like back to what it originally was, is it still a soup kitchen? Are y'all still feeding people?
So since the pandemic, we're up to 500 people a day come to the Mercy House to eat at lunchtime. That's lunch. They're there now for breakfast. Some come for breakfast, and then after lunch, they come in the evening and get snack bags and things. So we'll see, and throughout the community with the kids we're feeding in the after school program, about 4,000 people a month that we're feeding.
Wow.
There, guys. Even at the adult education, lunches are sent over to the building, and other agencies now that come to the Mercy House to get lunch. 211 has a program with that they send to pick up food there to take out. We serve the Flatwood community when the store was there. The Mercy House prepared all that food and sent it out there. They had DoorDash to come and pick up food every day and take it to seniors and places now. That's a grant that 211 have, but we prepare all that food. And they come to the Mercy House and get food every day to take it out of the community to seniors and people who are homebound.
How many people do you have preparing the food?
We have one person that's on staff. We have volunteers that come in on a regular basis to help us to do that. We have one person in the kitchen that's volunteering in the kitchen. We have a care coordinator who's in the front who kind of check people in and the data workforce in the front. So we have two people full time at the Mercy House.
Mm-hmm. And how about the facility over here? Are you into that one yet? Used to be the Italian restaurant.
We are not. So what's going to happen there? We're still in the renovation phase of it. Kyle Kaiser is helping us get the hoods and stuff installed. So once all those things are installed, all the cooking will be done over there. So it's only going to be a place where food is prepared and sent out to the Mercy House and places like the Mercy House that are doing similar work.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start out with that with 1,000 meals a day. You know, already got the freezer installed, the walk-in freezer's been installed, but now we're trying to get the hoods installed. That's a highly technical need. And Kyle Kaiser has been helping me try to walk through getting that done. So it's something that's beyond our expertise, mm-hmm. something that our engineering reports and all those things done to get it done. So, yes.
Is that a Corsina's?
Yes.
The old Corsina's?
I can remember
the
name, yeah.
Yes. I didn't know about that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's going to be a really huge blessing for us. Once that place is up and running, though, it'll be just be a food dispensary. The county gave us the funding to buy the supplies, the equipment and stuff, but not to renovate nor to install. So we got a huge walk-in freezer that we have to get installed. We got the hoods on the floor, which they tell, you know, somewhere it could cost up to $40,000 to get installed. So they bought them, but they just bring things that's sitting there. So to get the electrical, the plumbing, all the things up and running, mm-hmm. that was something that we had to come up and get done. Mm-hmm. But once it's done, the building is no cost on the building, there's no debt associated with it. So once it's finished, we'll be up and running. And it'll be just a place where we hope to run mostly off of volunteers. I get to, you know, that people come in and serve, have a lot of places, kind of like Meals on Wheels,
mm-hmm.
but just not going out to individuals. You're just going out to agencies that are serving. Mm-hmm. So agents can order food there and pick it up and take it back to their church, their community, or whatever agency that they're serving out of. That's what we're hoping to do. And we're partnering with the food bank with the food. So the food won't be a huge cost. I'll still serve on the board of the food bank. And the food bank welcome this opportunity that we could prepare the food and get hot food into homes of seniors and people who need it. So the food won't be a huge cost. The real cost would just be the, you know, just the service. Mm-hmm. Getting them. Yeah.
Making it.
Yeah, well, yeah, making it, getting the food from there would be where we'll hopefully we'll get, you know, churches and volunteers and, you know, involved in running that operation.
But that's not a shelter. You're feeding people.
So we won't feed out of here. But the Mercer House food will come from there to the Mercer House. Mm-hmm. People come to the Mercer House and still mm-hmm. able to eat. Mm-hmm. But not at not there.
Right.
So an individual won't come there and get food. There'll probably be some scrappers that come by, but that won't be the operation mm-hmm. of it.
That's amazing. Just taking care of the basic needs.
Yeah, we're trying to, we really, what we do strongly is those people who come through every day to eat, the care coordinator help us to get them in an intake system. So they're mm-hmm. back in the GED program. Mm-hmm. They're back into job, the workforce development. So all those different things that we're touching them, we're trying to direct them a place where they can be sufficient and take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we're always trying to do. We're not trying to feed them. We're just drawing them so we can help them to get on their feet. And what we started, too, that we were, I'm really, really excited about, we started almost like a PTA, but we call it a parents program partnership. So the children's in the program, the parents are partnering with us to help in the community. So it's almost every once a month we have a PPP program that the parents come in and they get a chance to get back into the homes. But the parents are helping us to own it, almost like a school with a PTA program. But the parents are helping us and partner with us to make sure the program is working well and also helping us back in the community. So those are things that we put together, pulling together, that we can get back into the homes and back into the community and to better what we're doing. Yeah. So if we don't have the leeway back into the homes and back in the community, we always find it to be fruitless. Mm-hmm. But if we can bring the parents to the table and get them involved and get them in ownership of what we're doing, we get back into the homes and the parents take it further than we can even go. So that's one of the things.
Where change, real change.
Yes, that's where the changes happen. Yes. When they're involved, that's when the changes happen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Around the table, we have some questions for Ken.
Ken?
Yes.
Do you have a whole different staff for the evening program that come in to work with the kids at night?
Yes, ma'am. I mentioned earlier the basketball coach at Bellingham School, which know most of the kids, actually at the gym at the Common Ground facility, running that in the evening. He comes on at 3 o'clock, and that's from 3 to late evening. And then in the hub, with another staff come on. So the morning staff, then the evening staff, yes.
Good, good.
Yes. I'm the only one that probably there both times.
Oh, like that would wear you out. All day and all night.
Yes.
Yeah, what happens when school starts back? What do y'all, how do y'all transition and what do y'all transition into?
So we have an after school program when school starts. That'll start in the evening, start right after school starts. We'll pick up children from school. We normally from 8 schools in the community. St. Lanier, Bellingham, Davis, Chris Mars, Edie Nixon, Carver Elementary, and Southland. It's all the few schools in the community that we drive and pick up our kids and bring back to our program. We was doing that last year at the MAP Center, but now that we're out of children, this will be a place where actually more friendly for children and more mm-hmm. get better places.
So what will they do? What will that look like? What kind of corporate program look like?
So we have teachers. We hire teachers. Like we're always there to come in. So it's homework help and enrichment. Yes, tutoring, homework help, and enrichment. They have bands, have different programs in the evening too. And then after the program ends at 6, then those older kids, 14 and above, can come back to the gym. and come back to the club. So we still try to have a safe place where we take the kids home, the elementary kids home, and have a safe place for teenagers. We've always had the problem, even when I was working at Kermit Ground, when we dropped kids off, the high school kids didn't even go in the house. They kept out in the streets. Mm-hmm. So we realized that we could create an opportunity or a place where they could come back, you know, that they'd stay with us. And so that's what we're doing. We're creating an opening gym back up after the program, after they have the homework done, after the homework days done, they could come back to a safe place. The inside of the hub at the Mac Center is a pool table, bitching TVs, you know, a lot of games that they could play, a lot of things just to keep them involved in a positive atmosphere, place, a place that we own the atmosphere, and they really clean to be in there. They could be, you know, both of that place for the feeding. So this is a safe place, but it's a place that they want to be involved.
Sometimes going back home probably is not.
Well, going back home, they don't go. We drop them off in the bus and they just keep walking in the street. And most of them end up in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, most of the communities are full of trouble. So we drop them off and they don't go. So if we could keep them in a safe place, that's one of the things that we always want. So it's a safe place that we know that they love to be in. Well, we take them home from there, they're tired. after they've been to school and after they've been in after school, in order to be in the after hours program, you would have to go to school, been to school that day.
Oh, good.
And then you would have to been in the after school program to have your homework. So you can't just walk in off the street.
Right.
You would have to been in both. So you went to school, we picked you up in school, you came and got your homework done, then you can stay in after hours. Mm-hmm.
And you find that they want to do that.
It's a list of people who want to do it. So a lot of people want to be in. So yes. But those are the ones we're helping those who are trying to help themselves and those who are looking for opportunities. And these kids who are hoping to be the kids that continue their education, continue on with their college, and continue doing great things. But just living in a bad place, they're just going to be a victim of sometimes the environment that they're in. So if we create a better environment in that hard place, then we feel like these kids can rise above it.
You're going to have two buses, or do you have more than that?
We have the one bus. I'm only the CDO driver, so we don't have another driver to drive a big bus. So we have a big bus, and then we have two bus vans like we have here, that 15 passengers that other staff drive in the van. So we have four vehicles that we drive to eight schools. Our vehicles in five streets. We're praying now about vehicles, but that's one of the things that we're really suffering with. So we have to be at eight schools or something. We drop it off, kids there, and go back to another school. So, and then in the evenings, we take them off at
their individual houses.
Yes. So that's one of the things. So that means we have to have two people on each bus at the minimum, because the driver and the person that will make sure the child gets in the car. So,
How about New Walk of Life Church?
New Walk of Life Church is serving all these people every day. So the congregation looks like the people we serve. You know, still there in the community, people that we serve on Monday through Friday, they're in the pews on Sunday. And so they have a place of worship. That's what I feel that God has purposed it to be. It's always been a mission. There's always been a place in the community right across from the Mercer House. They're the same people that we're serving actually there. We're actually now opening at noon every day. You know, where we used to do devotion outside. So we opened the doors of the church where we could come in every day and just have the devotion before lunch. You know, the people we were serving could come in and now have the devotion. And in the back of the Mercer House, where there's a recreation area, you know, instead of sitting out on the front, they'll be in the back in the recreation area because we have a person now who's helping us to keep that open. So that's a new thing that we're doing there too. So instead of you pass the streets and see people all up and down the street, now they're back in the pavilion in the back, in the covered area in the back. We got plugs out there. You know, we put plugs on the side of the church already because people come in, you know, throughout the night and day and plugging their cell phones. One guy, he's homeless, has a power wheelchair. That's where you come and plug in and draw this wood to you. You know, so these are things that we do. We've got a water faucet outside. And so all those things that we always had outside so people can have access to those things. Now we'll open up the gate because we have the manpower. We have so much opportunity. We just don't have the manpower to use it. But now that we have the manpower that they could be in the bathroom pavilion every day, that's going to be a new opportunity for us.
Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of can be there instead of just somewhere else.
Yeah, just a safe place. It's covered. Got ceiling fans outside. You know, got plugs where they can plug in the cell phones. And this one guy who roams the community in this wheelchair, always trying to find a hot spot to put in his chair.
Right.
So he comes to the church and charge it up. And how does it last? But he'll come back again and charge it up again. And some families don't have water, so we have a faucet outside. They come through there and take water back. So that's what we get a chance to do over there. And you guys at Trinity Church have been partnering with us to help us do this for a long time. And we really have not been able to do it without you guys. So you guys have been a huge, huge blessing and a partner with us to cause this to happen. Christmas, we was there. I guess we fed about 300 people for Christmas this year. And not only did we feed them, we had a toy store, kind of like Common Ground gave us the toys we had that was left over. But these are kids who did not get a chance to get in any of those programs, the Christmas clearing house. So these are people who, last day of Christmas, the children don't have anything, so they could come in and grab a toy, the gift on the way out. We had a warming a table where you have blankets and gloves and stuff like that. So it was just really, really huge this year. We had another thing we did this year too. Matt's Credit Union provided a Christmas tree and they had funds on it. So families who didn't have cash, didn't have money at the last minute, they can come in and get a $25 gift cash. Mm. And they could go out and buy something for Christmas. We didn't try to buy anything at the last minute, but they knew what they needed for it. And Max gave us the money to put that on the tree. So they came in. You should see how eyes and hearts, and sometimes parents who knew they didn't have anything, needed those last minute things for kids. You know, which is really something really huge. That was a blessing.
We've got a couple houses that you're housing families to. Is it two or what?
We have seven. We have three of them that's renovated. And we have the Kevin King house that he moved out of community. We was able to acquire that house and two of the houses that we've already renovated and people living in. Got a family from Valiant Cross that lives in the house that Kevin King lived in. And that family, you know, get a chance to live there for a year. We have an 80-20 budget rule they have to follow. They come in with criteria, whatever they need to bring themselves up. And they have a participation amount of money that they pay every month. To live in their house is $500.
Wow.
And then they live on the budget. They have to save 10% of their income. And at the end of that year, when they move out of that house, if they have completed their checklist, we give them the participation funds back. So they leave out with the $6,000 what they had put in, plus their savings, and they can go out now and buy their own house to start their own life. And so that's what we're trying to do in the family participation program that we have. So we have families who are being mentored over that year, and after that year, we give them the funds back. So they complete the checklist. There's a carrot over your head. Got a house, got to look like you're moving in. Got to keep it up, yard cut. You got to have a strict budget. The budget is transparent. We're looking at the budget every month. We match income, every penny that you have of that year. Just teach them how to live on a budget of that year. Teach them how to shop. Teach them how to do all those things over that year. And so once they finish that over the year, we feel that they're astute enough now that they've been living on a budget for a year. They know how to save 10% of their income, how to live off 80, how to give 10%. And that after that year, they can move out with money in their pocket, some that we never had before, and serve their own life. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we have four other houses that we renovate as we go. No debt associated with the houses is the reason we're able to do it, because the houses are paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any debt, so we don't have any it's not an income thing for us. It's a building people thing that we need to do. So it's ministry related. So, and the house doesn't belong to anybody, to them. So it gets a house that, so the participation house to help a family in the front of it. We're not trying to sell them. We're not trying to rent them. But each one of those houses we use for the next family and the next family. And those families that come through becomes the testimonies and, right, and the hope for other families who want to get out. And I would just build based upon the needs in the community. You know, we just had, we started this by renting the house from house to house. We rented it for a year because we had a family that was going to Valley and Cross at the time that we was trying to help. And the kids were being so trampled, telling them know how some of these kids live in this place this week and another place next week, and they keep moving. So we rented a house to keep these kids stable that was going back and forth to school so they can. It was on, they literally on my bus route. And every week, you know, it was a different place. So we came together and said, hey, let's just rent a house and let them stay here. And then we try to help them to get on their feet. And that's how that program was built. We just modeled building that, set them at one family, and then we extended to able to help those families.
Amazing.
So.
Amazing. Y'all were praying for transportation, so we can add that to our prayer list. What are some other prayers that you would like for us to?
Yeah, we really have a lot of reaches and less people. So those are things that we, you know, that we can do so much more because of the facilities that we have. We got 40,000 square feet at the MAP Center at the TV station. That can counseling. We got we're planning now that we're going to have mental health and substance abuse counseling there. Mental health is going to move into that facility like Trenum did. So Trenum moved in is a great partner with us. You know, they moved in and brought the professors. They have the curriculum. They just run the whole program. They just inside the facility. Mental health is going to be the same thing. It just be a satellite office there on this side of town. So those are things that we're trying to do. We're not trying to own. We're just trying to bring it into the community. And so Trenum is actually Trenum College. We have a professor there. Every day is teaching. And so what we do to help sometimes the people like in school don't have the transportation. So we still pick up and try to get the students back and forth in the class. And then from they finish the training, they need to go to the campus for training. And they need to go to welding or some kind of medical training, whatever makes class they go to. We try to also make sure that they get there. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we bring them at lunch for them, you know, just to make sure that they're eating that day and get to this place. So these are ways that we're just making sure that all these opportunities that are here being realized. There's so many opportunities every day that transportation, childcare, all those things prevent, you know, sometimes parents who don't have the resources to realize those opportunities.
Kim, what are the Trenum professors doing for y'all?
So the professor on site, he is the adult education. She's teaching for GEDs and high school diplomas. So
she's helping them get the GED. They need to move on together.
To the next stage.
We are doing skill training.
Not in that facility. So once they pass there, they can go to whatever site. Some is over here on Air Bay, some is over at Tour Highway area, whatever site, whatever training they decide to go to. Even the CDL truck driving, that's out on Tour Highway.
Right.
So whatever, once they get the GED high school, they decide which training they want to go to.
Yeah. How many people do you have in that program?
So it's at pace, self-paced. So you go there, you stand there now, you see them coming in and out all day. Like, you can come and stay for 2 hours, you can come in and stay as long as you want to, however much time. It's adult education. So you walk in, you sign in, you stay as long as you can. Everybody's trying to hustle, who's coming, trying to finish.
Right.
So
that's
how it works. You had said that, I guess the third prayer is that God would send the provision needed to reach this community of the gospel. I came in a few minutes late, so I may have missed part of what you said, but is there any kind of like Bible study for older kids or like good news clubs for younger kids or anything that you have?
Yeah, so every day we start out with devotion, we start out with the gospel, and we get at lunchtime there with it's all of these hospice centers, even at Trinity, that's the blessing that we have, because they're in our facility, the chapel's right beside. So we have a chapel right in the facility here that the gospel can share every day.
I guess I'm looking at, as they're growing, you know, going beyond the devotionals, is there like a you know, where the kids can really study the Bible?
Yes. We had last night, on Monday nights, we had a Zoom class that they have there. They have in the gym, they call it this Hoop for God. And that's what the gym is. That's what I'm saying. So each one of those classes, we have a youth pastor who's been nominated last week at the prayer walk, Charles Stringer. He's a chaplain in the United States. That's our, you know, he's the new pastor there, so he's the one who's leading the youth back to Christ.
All right, and what would you have for the little kids?
Same thing. Okay. Inside of the curriculum, if you have devotion, Bible studies.
And okay, yeah, the reason I'm asking that question is because Trinity's gotten involved with Child Men's Fellowship. And yeah. I don't know if you had something like that, but, you know, that has all the different, you know, they can move around, they can, you know, learn scripture and, you know, have the whole package. I don't know if y'all had that there.
So we don't have all the teachers that we have are not, some of them are just in the public school system. So we have devotion time. So each classroom may not be where that teacher would want that teacher teaching. So we can have devotion time, Bible time that each one of those is getting through. And the child is responsible, the youth pastor is responsible for us. All the children would have been through a lack of this.
But I guess I'm not asking the question, but would y'all be open to having?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I didn't ask the question, right?
Yes. So, yes. So that's what we're trying for. Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying. If we have the expert to do it, it would be open. We have a facility, we have a time.
You have the place, the people, everything. You just need somebody come help.
We need to get Kelly.
I know, that's what I'm
about. We need to help. So if the kids are there all day, well, some of the teachers from the school system are just not that person. That's what I'm saying. They may do with the science, but they're not the Bible
school. Yeah, they just need, somebody needs to come in there that's been trained.
Yeah, they've been trained. One person who oversees it, he's not able to.
Okay, and so if you did it, because I know you talk about the after school program, it would be where the kids come from your schools after school, and maybe one of the days out of the five, you could have a good mission.
We could, with Easter, as we plan now for coming back in the fall. That would be
all right, that's great.
Because we do Fridays, like a fun Friday now, we, you know, slow shorts. Close the day down, and we kind of pour back into it to kind of build a community with them. So we certainly have that day. We can say, hey, this is our faith day, you know, and that's what we do.
Would Kelly Herring just, or Naomi Camp just contact you?
Sure, yeah. Naomi is a really good friend. She's part of the prayer walk that we work on every day.
Oh, great.
How are you doing personally? Last time you were here, you were under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. You seem a little more relaxed, but I don't know.
No, we still, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And every day it's going to work. And I try to back off as much as I can, but like I say, kids are dying in front of us. And the only thing in our community is fostering the funeral. There's no businesses coming in. The funeral homes are building, adding on to that. It's a new funeral home, the movement. Those kids are dying. The people are dying. So we just have to keep working as hard as we can to save one. We're so thankful when we see those who have come through here, you know, from that long time. You know, we started kids here in the month when Montgomery Christian School was here. And some of those kids we've seen going off to do great things. So we just know we're doing the right thing. You know, we don't get them all, but we know that some of those kids that we pick up every morning and brought to school have gone on to do great things. Mm-hmm. So that's why we won't stop. And we bury some of them. Some of them are in jail. you know, some of them have gone on to military and college and doing great things. So we'll take a chance on everyone and just want to stop. I still drive a bus like I've been driving the last almost 15 years. You know, so I still do it because I hope, my hope is that one will get it. You know, one get it, one make it out of that community, one make it, you know, and get it and get the know Christ and build a life for themselves. We continue. So I continue hard. I'll do it until it
happens. Do you have some help coming along now, training to do what you're doing?
So help means money. You know, you just have to bring people. It's that community. It's no volunteer that shows up there. Every person there, you have to be able to afford to have any staff. And so that's what it means. Yeah. So I can do it for free. I do 1,000 things for free. You know, I pass the church for free. I drive the bus for free. I do all those things, but we can't give anybody to do those things, you know, but not for free. Yeah. We can hire a bus driver now. You know, it's a lot of people for a job. But we had a part-time one that was $35,000 a year that we could not afford to keep. So that went back to me just doing it for free. You know, some of the things I have to do because we don't have the funds to hire. You know, I have to figure out a way to make it happen. You know, I'm a general contractor because you can't afford one.
Yeah.
Not because I don't want one, not because I know what I'm doing either. But I just, you know, some of the things I just have to manage because we don't have, you know, just the funds is the real issue. And we just got. That skill we have to manage well and make sure that we can do what we have. That's one of the reasons that the housing that we have four that needs to be renovated, but because we don't have the funds, we don't even worry about it. When funds come from each one, we'll add what we can to it and move forward. It's not part of life or death.
Like to write down your funding. What would you say is how much from individuals and churches, different sources? What would you say?
So I'll just tell you, you'll probably be surprised to know this, that we have two churches that we're on that budget that we know that we get funding from every month, and Trent is one. And so other than that, all the other funds is raised. So none of it is allocated. You know, all the other money that we operate on, from payroll to everything else, we have to go out and raise that money from day to day.
So if you had a dinner and invited pastors from a lot of different churches, and met some of the, you know, people that are in leadership there, to make people aware, would that be helpful?
That would be very helpful. And I'll tell you, Tommy McKinnon from Baptist South is doing that for us on the 27th of July. He's hosting a dinner at the Knapp Center. They have just stepped up now that they are going to kind of do what Trent is doing for 3 years, going to partner with us for three years and support in a way, but they also want to tell other people to do the same thing. So I would welcome everyone to come to that, kind of hear, he's telling the story, and the reason why he feels it's important. You guys have felt it's very important for over the years, and kind of encourage other people to get behind it. So that would be a huge help, making people understand why Trinity Church feels that is something that you guys feel good about and been a support, and maybe telling that story that other people might do involved in other churches. We only have two churches, Sherman and another church. People think that we have a million churches, and people think that a million people play it to support, but all the funds we do, day in and day out, we have to go out.
The TV station, do they have that annual fundraiser for
they
you?
They have it in October again. So good. That's one that's been a real big blessing for us every year. And
who is it?
WSFA. Yeah, they gave us the building and they pledged to walk along beside us. So they've been actually being really faithful with that. But that's, even with that, that's all the work you have to do to make that happen. We started now, you know, trying to, you know, make sure.
They did an excellent job.
Well, they literally undercut all the costs for it.
Yeah.
And that cost to do it is about $40,000 to do it. I mean, all the TV time, all the marketing, all the things that they're doing to cause it to happen. So a lot of people help, you know, to make sure what we do go forward. once this year, I hate to say it's next year because we start at zero.
Yeah.
We get payroll throughout the year, and then we start over every year again. And that's why we don't have any debt. We don't ask for any debt or any kind of accumulate any debt because we don't know, we don't have any way to be satisfied. So we won't ask for debt. We won't try to get any debt. Just as we go. Everything we do is just as we go. And that's just been the operation principle.
Now, y'all, again, I can't imagine. Didn't y'all? Y'all taking over the Commonwealth?
We leased that facility from Brian, so we don't own it. We lease it, and so yes, and so hopefully somehow you know we can figure out a way long term to go forward. But right now we just lease it. Yeah, it's a huge. So one of the reasons we're able to lease it is because Salvation Army moved into the map. And so that was some of the costs that we made to offset. And what they was paying there, I think Salvation Army, I just saw the Salvation Army, was like $2,500 a month for office space there until they find a facility. And Brian, we paid Common Ground for $1,000 a month. So it just, we paid $1,500 different from what we was doing there. And then we probably saved that in fuel because most of the kids and stuff that we was transporting back and forth, we was paying that much for fuel. So it wasn't a huge undertaking for the cost. But Salvation Army's doing is $2,500 and we paid Common Ground $4,000 a month. And so we paid $1,500 more than what we was paying. Facility, the gym, and all the space that we have.
You need to have a bus driver.
I do.
And you need to have somebody that likes to do construction stuff. Yeah. And volunteer time to do kind of like carpenters for Christ or something like that.
Oh, yes. And I think we could put one nail in at this thing because what we do now, you know, I'm getting my fingers holding my hand. But yeah, the facility there, if you get a chance to go down there, you'll see it's come a long way. And we're really excited about where we are with that. That's a huge facility that was, you know, we were able to get that, the two buildings, the upholstery shop, which is on the backside, and the Christina's building. Both of those buildings was donated to us. We just have to pay, $75,000 for the two. Mm-hmm. And so that was two buildings. One of them would easily be worth three times that much. And so the Crusados building has the ability to have 14 apartments inside on the other side of it. So if we ever get inside, that's our long term that we will build some dorms inside for college students. We have six interns working with us now. They still on campus at Alabama State, but they have a place to stay. They would stay with us and work for free. They would work with the kids, they would work in the restaurant, and then the casino building. They would do all the work. If we can offset their stay in Montgomery, and we can have them in U.S. And so that's one of the long-term things. Jerry looked at that with me, but that's one of the long things that we want to do, that place there kind of come back in and renovate it, put some small little dorm apartments in here, and got a common area, a kitchen area space inside. But that's something that would be right up the street, and the kids could walk back and forth and out of the state, and they would be here for 4 years, pulling back in the community. And that wouldn't be a cost to us, and wouldn't be a cost to them, but what they would bring to those kids that they're rubbing shoulders with, and the relationship that they're building with those kids, and priceless. You know? And so those are things that we want to do and see that we really, really change the whole scope of the thing.
Just a lot.
Just a lot. And, you know, I don't sleep, not worried about it, but I just know it's a possibility. And if it happens, it's really, really good.
We can, do y'all have any more questions? We can move to a time of prayer. Anybody can pray online or here. Bubba, if you would mind open his time, would you close? And we'll just lift up all these prayer requests, please.
Lord, we thank you for this morning to hear more about Mercy House, Common Ground, Lord, many activities that are going on and the potential of reaching so many for Christ that are available to us right here in Montgomery. So I thank you for Ken's vision and his heart and his passion to be involved in all these many areas. I pray that you would give him the strength and encourage him as he continues to be involved in so many different areas. And I just think about the young people that are involved and even up to the college students and then, Lord, just the community that a lot of these young people live in and probably the lack of any encouragement they have in their homes, yet they get it here when they go to the Mercy House, the Common Ground facility, Lord, they're tutored at school, that they hear about Jesus, they hear the gospel, Lord, and they have an opportunity to get out of the situation they're in. So I just thank you for Ken and his heart and Lord and his vision to see it's just one person at a time. And you know, you open the door there and we have seen young people go through there and change their lives and some don't. But our job is just to reach out to all of them. So again, I just thank you for what he's doing there and the years he spent and the impact he's made already in our community. So continue to use him, continue to use this ministry, Lord, to see us people come to Christ, Lord, and also to change their lives and even change our community. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Ken, too. I just pray you give him strength, just endurance, this passion you've given him to serve these people that need you. Some of them are believers, but maybe not. Just pray that there'll be many that do come to Christ. And also, they grow in their faith. And they just see these other people that are the hands and feet of Jesus. And their lives have been transformed. And thank this opportunity it's found that they wouldn't have otherwise. And how they can grow up and come back and make a contribution themselves. Of what you've done for them. And pray for Ken to have a bus driver that can will volunteer to come and pick up his kids. And we pray for people that will come and do construction. Maybe have some different teams that will come in and just help out. Pray for this casino's renovation that you'll provide the monies and provide these students to be able to live there and be like interns there at the ministry and not only impact the kids there, but their lives will be impacted by how you're using them and how you're changing their lives. Also pray for a dinner to invite the different churches to be involved and hear the story. Only two churches involved. This is such a mighty work that many churches ought to be involved. And to make them aware. A lot of people may not be aware of this great opportunity. And I pray that Naomi can work with Ken and maybe have a good news club there. And
yes.
Hear about Jesus. And that they can not only come to Christ, but they can be discipled every week. And grow in their faith and be mighty warriors as they're moving up and Christ. And then they can be leaders when they're in junior high school and high school. And we like you, but we just thank you for your time with us today, Lord. We just pray for Mercy House and all that you have planned for.
Father, I just thank you for Ken and for the way that you've just grown this ministry under his leadership. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have brought Common Ground and Mercy House together to share facilities and staff. And Lord, I pray that you would give the board vision for ways to guide and equip their neighbors to take steps out of poverty. And Lord, whether that be instruction in job training or preparing for job interviews or just how to prepare and stick to a budget and or live within a budget and how to get out of debt, Lord. I just pray that you would give wisdom to the board and to help them to plan and implement programs that will help this their community. And Father, I pray for wisdom for Ken and his board as they lead the ministry of Mercy House and just give them the ability to guide the people who are involved in this ministry and the path that God would lead them in, and that they would embrace this transformational ministry, and that as a result, Lord, that they would walk in truth. And Lord, I just thank you for the way that you have provided the financial support for the camp this summer, and I pray that you just continue to provide every financial need for this ministry. And we just thank you for the way in which the community has rallied around this summer camp and just provided the scholarship for these 130 kids. And Lord, I just pray for all of those who come to Mercy House for support, that they will respond to just the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, and that hearts and minds will be changed, and that this will just bring about changed and transformed lives for Jesus Christ. And I just pray these things in Christ's holy name.
Heavenly Father, I agree with these prayers. We are grateful for this ministry and just the extended reach that it is having through Ken's efforts, his personal efforts in so many ways, his faithfulness to your vision. I do pray that you would sustain him and for Thomasine as well, who's very much a part of this, and pray that you would provide the volunteers, people who are willing to be to lead a good news club, volunteers who are willing to be part of renovating these houses, volunteers who are willing to be bus drivers and just serve in so many ways that are needed. I pray that you provide the financial resources to keep this going and that you would touch the hearts of people here, even in the Trinity Church, that they'd be willing to be a part of this.
Mm, yes.
We are blessed in many ways, Lord, and but we're blessed that we would be good stewards of those blessings. Help us to do that, Father. And pray that, as this has been prayed already, that the gospel would be clear in the lives of these children, but they would not just hear it, they would see it lived out before them by the many volunteers and others and the workers who need employment that are part of this ministry as well. Father, this is the only way change is going to happen in this city. And it will come by the power of your spirit and individual lives to motivate people to be part of it. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards. Go before us on this day for each of us, that we would serve and glorify you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.